Welcome to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman. I am your host, Ellen, and I am a female empowerment coach. That means that I help you stop people-pleasing, stop being controlled by anxiety and overthinking, breaking your bad habits, and stop letting food rule your life. It's time for you to take your power back and become an empowered woman. In this podcast, I will show you the unfiltered version of myself and my guests. You know, the stuff that we can't put on Instagram. I want to show you how living unfiltered means you can take that power back and live a truly empowered life. Now let's dig in.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Unfiltered Empowered Woman podcast. Today I have a guest with me, and not just any guest, but actually the first person I ever interviewed back when I was still with the Women's Fitness Academy doing the podcast. Sarah, who I have on today, was actually the first person that I interviewed when I got the job, and they asked me like, who do you want on? And I'm like, I know exactly who I want on. So it was just about time that Sarah, aka Living, oh God, what is your name now?
Living Well With Cess.
Living Well With Cess. Yeah, that was it. Was because it used to be Eating Well With Cess, wasn't it?
It did. It did, yes.
Anyways, Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on, Ellen. It's always a pleasure being interviewed by you. I'm very excited for today's episode.
I know. It's been so fun. And it's been a long time coming as well. Like, I feel like, yeah, I've been wanting to have you on for ages now. So I'm glad that we could finally get you on, even though I'm still in Sweden and you're in Melbourne, so the time difference is a bit crazy. I think it's like 10 hours or something, but we made it work.
Absolutely. What time is it in Sweden right now?
10:49 a.m.
Oh, for context, it is 8:49 p.m. in Melbourne, so yes, there is a bit of a time difference.
A little bit. My day is starting and your day is pretty much over.
Precisely.
No, but I, like, anyone who follows your page, anyone who like knows you, and like, obviously I don't know you like person, but I feel like I do, but like I haven't actually met, but you just always been like my biggest hype girl. You're always so, so nice. You're always the first person to like share or comment or, you know, step up. And I feel like you're like that with every single person as well. Like, it's not just my stuff that you hype up, even though you do hype up. You just literally just call me like so beautiful, and I'm like sitting here
in my freaking beanie
and like headset on, and like, thank you. But it's just so nice. And I feel like the world just needs so many more people like you who are just so like genuinely nice. Like, I feel like you're just nice to people and happy and friendly and, you know, being your best self and not expecting anything back. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I try my hardest to just throw kindness into the world. So there's enough shit out there. Let's do some good, hey?
Yeah.
Let's lift people up.
Exactly. And I feel like that's probably why your Instagram page has taken off so much as well. Like, you have so many followers, and I can imagine, like, does that ever get hard for you to have so many followers? Like, do you ever feel like you have to post or you have to comment on other people's stuff? And does your DMs get flooded?
Well, yes, sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming. And there are times where I just cannot get back to people within 24 hours. So if someone shared something of mine, sometimes I miss it or I don't get to see it. It's not intentional. It's just that, you know, my inbox is always full of so many different messages, and they could be really about anything, because I feel like when I changed my name from Eating Well With Cess to Living Well With Cess, I made it more of a general page about just living well rather than just focusing on food as I kind of grew into it as a person. So people will send me messages about all sorts of topics. So, yeah, it can be a little bit overwhelming, but I do try my hardest to get back to everybody whenever it is that I can, whether that takes a few days to a week or immediately if I've got the time. But yeah, so I try my hardest to make sure that everybody gets some sort of response from me when it's possible. It can be a bit overwhelming sometimes. Absolutely. There's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah. Plus you have kids and your partner and you train and you have a normal job. So like,
yes,
it's not like for me, like it's my Instagram is literally like a part of my business, but for you, it's like a hobby. And I feel like people sometimes forget that for you it is a hobby. Like, I know I definitely forget that this is not your actual job. Like, this is just something you do for fun.
No, this isn't something that I get paid to do. It's just something that I do because I enjoy, and I really love sharing my journey with people. So
yeah. Yeah.
All the ups and all the downs.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why, like, I love your page so much, because you don't just go on there and you get like this perfectly curated, high, like, beautiful filtered life. It's literally like, this is who I am and this is what I'm going through right now. And, you know, this is just what my life looks like. And it's so nice to have someone who is actually relatable. And yeah, nice.
Thank you so much, Ellen. I feel the same about you. I feel like you share, like, you know, your unfiltered journey, and it's really, really beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
Because no one's life is perfectly curated.
No,
you know, we don't live in
not.
This beautiful world full of, you know, amazing things constantly. There are ups and there are downs, and that's life. And I think it's important to share both sides.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So for the people who don't know your journey, like, I feel like I've followed you for so long now. I feel like I've seen so many, been with you for the ups and the downs and for everything.
Insta besties.
Yeah, yeah. But talk us through, like, how did your journey start? Like, yeah, why did you start getting into Instagram and fitness and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I went through a stage where, you know, I was really starting to look after my health after many years of being up and down in the dieting world and the binge eating world and the starving, binging kind of, which is quite relatable to a lot of people, kind of lifestyle. And I ended up finding a way where I could actually turn, instead of just constantly being on a diet, actually make my life a healthy lifestyle. And when I got into all this, I didn't actually know that anybody on Instagram sort of existed and was sharing this sort of information. So I jumped onto it and I thought, I'm just going to create a page. And originally it was just to help a few friends who were like, I want to lose weight, but I want to do it healthy. I want to make it part of my lifestyle. I'm sick of, you know, the fad diets and being on shakes and meal replacements and that sort of stuff. And I was like, okay, I'm going to share my journey with my friends. So I started that page for that reason. And it just kind of grew bit by bit, I think, because I was so honest and relatable as a person. But at the same time, I also learned so much on there. Like, I met so many amazing and empowering people who were, you know, had so much knowledge around nutrition and training, like yourself and a few others. And I was like, wow, this is a whole different world. And it kind of grew from there. And I was so, like, inspired. I'd stay up at night watching people's videos about, you know, how they would, like, implement more protein into their diet, or how lifting weights was to help you, you know, get stronger. For a long time, I just thought women would get bulky lifting weights, not realizing how much work it takes to actually get bulky and how strong you've got to be and how amazing it would be to actually be able to get to that stage, you know. So I learned so much on there, and my page kind of grew with experience. So I didn't delete any of my old stuff either. I kind of look back at it sometimes, because the page is about 2.5 years old now, and I look back and I go, oh my God, how much have I grown as a person since I started that page? You know, I originally jumped on to teach my friends that you could eat, you know, a very small amount of calories to lose weight. And for me, that was a huge transition from not eating at all. Mm. And now I'm in this, like, stage where I'm like, I eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And I had to let go of so many rules to get to where I am today. And the page has kind of grown with me as a person. So it's sort of like my baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I love looking back at the old stuff that we used to post. And I always say to, like, the coaches that I coach, that if you don't look back at your posts from, like, a year or 2 years ago and you don't cringe, like, that means that you haven't learned anything. Like,
yeah,
you meant
grown.
To, yeah, you meant to look back and be like, oh, like, why did I post that? Or like, oh my God,
I
can't believe I gave that
these
words. Yeah.
Like, why did I eat this concoction of shit just to meet certain macros? What the hell? But, like, I look back and I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not where I was.
Yeah.
And I'm so looking forward to being even somewhere better and looking back at this in a year and being like, I've grown more, you know.
Yeah.
It's very motivating.
100%. 27th of December in 2024, we'll look back at this and be like, wow, remember that time when we said and had that interview, and wow, look how far we've come.
Absolutely. Both of us and the rest of us.
100%. 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember when I was in that trust, stuck in the macro tracking mindset of, like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with tracking macros, but sometimes it can just get a bit obsessive, and
absolutely,
it's very much depending on the coach that you have. For example, like, coaches need to be able to pick up on the red flags and, you know, really preach that balanced life. And for me, I had someone who was very, like, encouraging of that super, super strict mindset of, like, oh my God, Ellen, like, you're always spot on, that's amazing. And, you know, if there was one week that I'd be like a few grams over, it'd be like, okay, well, what went wrong this week? And it's like, that's 3 grams
nothing
over, like,
wrong.
Nothing went wrong, like,
yeah.
But, you know, that really just encourages that. And, like, some of the shit that I was eating was just, like, I remember there was don't know if you did this, but it was, I know so many fitness people did it. It was like egg white cinnamon roll. And it was like egg white, just like egg white on a baking paper in the oven. And then you like rolled it up with like stevia and cinnamon and like some like light like butter or something like that. And it was, that was like a cinnamon roll. Oh no, it was sugar free maple syrup. Sugar free maple syrup. I remember now. Yeah. And it was like barely any calories, just protein. And I remember like with my partner at the time, I was like, oh my God, this tastes exactly like a cinnamon roll.
It doesn't though. It really doesn't. The things you tell yourself is, yeah. So I used to be, funny story, I used to have like a complete addiction to sugar free maple syrup, the Steve's one.
Yeah, see.
And I when I talk it. Addiction, as in one time Woolworths ran out of stock and my husband was traveling because he works FIFO and he had to bring me like a box, like a slab from like one of the country stores that I couldn't find in Melbourne. And I was stressing because I was like, because I would eat it, I would just drink it for days and that's all I'd have. I'd have nothing else. Just sugar-free maple syrup.
Just like search for the bottle. One.
Yeah. And I remember my teeth would hurt because even though it's sugar-free, it's still like,
oh, there's so much shit in it. Yeah, there's so much shit in it.
And this is way too much information, but I would just spend my whole life on the toilet. Like, that's all I did because it would just go straight through me. And I'd be mixing it with, like, instant coffee and water, like ice, and blending it all day long. And that would be all I'd eat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, my snacks. It would just be, like, blended instant coffee and sugar-free maple syrup. What the hell?
Oh, my God. That
the things we've done.
Oh,
and
God.
Sometimes when I look back at photos of myself, you know, like nearly 20 kilos lighter, I'm like, I looked so good. I felt so good. And then I remember the shit I had to do to stay at that. And I'm like, there is no way. I'd rather be heavier and happier and be able to go out and enjoy myself and actually like eat proper food. I still, to this day, it's been years now, I cannot look at a bottle of that maple syrup. I see it at the shops and I cringe. I'm like, oh, I just picture myself on the toilet. I'm like, oh, I'd rather be like massive than being tiny and drinking maple syrup again. Oh,
I totally agree with you. Yeah, some of those diet foods, like, I have a few friends who buy those like sugar-free, there's like some kind of drops or something you put in your coffee, like flavored coffee syrup stuff. And I I can't have it at all.
I know.
And it just makes you feel so sick. But I think what you said there is so important that, you know, you can look, and I think that it needs to be okay as well, that you can look back at pictures of your old self and be like, wow, I look fucking good. And like, I'm actually proud that I did that work to look like that, but you weren't happy. And that's so important, because I think sometimes we look back at pictures of ourselves, especially like mums. A lot of mums that I work with look back and, oh, before I had kids, I looked so good and I was so lean and had so much time to train. And now I have kids and I'm bigger. And it's like, yeah, but your life, first of all, completely different to now having kids, completely different. Your bodies are meant to change. And also, like, were you happy? Because I definitely wasn't happy when I was, you know, 10 kilos lighter than I am now. I thought I was. Absolutely. Because you think so. Like, you basically just hang out with people who track their food or who supports this lifestyle. And, like, you talk to your trainer. And it becomes almost like a sect almost, don't you think?
Yes. It's like a cult.
Yeah. Like, you just talk about macros and how to fit certain things in, and you only follow certain people on social media, and everyone else is wrong, and everyone who questions you, like, when you're walking around with your food scale, you're like, oh, you just don't want it bad enough.
That's right, exactly. If you wanted it, you'd have it.
Yeah,
it's not exactly how the human body and mind should work, though.
Like, no.
We're people, you know?
And, like, when I hear, like, stories about people – well, I used to do this, so I was one of those people who like take their food scales with them to restaurants. And like, I remember the company that I was using when I was completely obsessed with tracking macros, they even brought out like a food scale, like a mini version, so that you, and the reason was so that you could take it to a restaurant. Like, that was the reason they brought it out.
So you could fit it in your bag.
Yeah, exactly. And I look back at this now and I'm like, what kind of life is that? And like,
no,
if you're listening,
life,
yeah. And if you're listening to this, like, you might think that it only takes a couple of seconds to put your foods on the scale and then put it into your app. Sure, it might, but you're still subconsciously in MyFitnessPal calculating, thinking about, okay, how many grams is this? How many grams is that? And how am I going to make this and this fit into my food? Like, yeah, sure, you might be there with your friends, but you're not actually there because you're in your mind calculating, trying to play macro Tetris.
That is so spot on. The times I think back to like Christmas parties or friends' birthdays, you know, there were times I would go to the bar and I would buy the drinks for everyone. So I could say to the barman, just, you know, if everyone was having like vodka and lemonade, for example, just as an example of a drink, and I'd say to the barman, make all of theirs vodka and lemonade. I just want soda water in mine, but just make it look like theirs. You know what I mean? The amount of times that I would just lie, people would think I was drinking just to cover my tracks. You know, when you get to that point, regardless of whether it's food or anything else, you're doing something that's not right. You know, to be trying to cover your tracks to that point, it's actually so, so unhealthy. And yes, like you were saying, you can look back at photos and go, yeah, I looked amazing. But how did you feel? Because, yeah, I might have looked great and I could fit into the smallest size in the store, and that was a big goal of mine. But I used to wake up and I would see stars and I would smack my head because I had such low blood pressure that I'd fall over. And who the hell wants to live like that?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not me, you know.
That's so crazy.
No, you know, and going to the gym was about getting skinny. It was, you know, spending hours doing cardio. It was burning as many calories as you could. It was constantly keeping your heart rate at a certain point or above, rather than just going to just have a healthy lifestyle and get stronger. You've really got to change your mindset. If you're listening to this and you're at the stage where your whole like life and world revolves around trying to maintain a weight that is so small, you know, your body gets to a certain point where if you just let go of all the food rules and you just let your body be where it should be, you are able to maintain that particular weight and that lifestyle so much easier, and you feel so much better. You know, you stop saying no to things with your friends. You start going on date nights again. You start, this is something else I found as a mum. I used to cook, you know, these amazing meals for my family, and then I'd sit down with like my perfectly tracked, like, you know, calorie counted meal and miss out on all this amazing stuff. I'm a really good cook and I really enjoy being in the kitchen, but I wouldn't enjoy any of the stuff I'd make because I'd make it for everyone else, but not for myself. So, you know, don't miss out on life.
No. Honestly. Definitely not. And also what you said before about the lying, like, I think that's a huge warning sign. Like, if you're noticing that you're making up lies because it makes it easier for you, or that you don't actually want to tell people, then something is definitely wrong. And I think especially, like, this is something that I really noticed I was doing with guys, like, that I was dating, and like, I deep down I knew this guy isn't right for me, this guy is not a good person, but I would make up lies and, like, I wouldn't tell my friends the whole story. And now looking back at it, it's like, okay, all of the people that I was dating that I didn't want to tell the full story about, they weren't good people. And the same thing, the same thing goes with your food. If you are on a diet and you feel like you need to lie about what you've eaten or why you're not eating certain things, that's not a good diet, because it means that you have to lie and hide a part of yourself.
Absolutely. Anything that takes that much, you know, covering your tracks, is you're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, 100%. So really just be honest with yourself here. And, you know, are you telling your friends the whole story? Are you telling your family, or are you making up little lies, or, you know, like you did, like, always order the drinks because you want to control exactly what was in it? And, like, what kind of life is that? Like, you don't want to look back at your life and be like, oh, like, I was so shredded, and, you know, people remember me because I was so shredded. Like, no, like, people remember you because you're fun and because you know, had a great personality, or you're nice and caring. And people don't care about how you look. You're the only one who really cares.
It's true. No, nobody cares as much as you think they do.
No.
Everybody is so self-absorbed as well. Don't forget that, you know, like, people care about themselves more than they're ever going to care about you or what you look like or what even your issues are. You know, your friends love you, but they've also got their own problems.
100%.
Nobody cares as much as you do or as much as you think they do. So it's huge. You really got to come to terms with that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I did a post about this a few months ago, about the spotlight effect. Like, it's like an actual name for it, because we do think that people care about us and look at us way more than they actually do. And it's like, you know, if you and I were going to go for breakfast or something, then I would probably be like, oh, like, I'm wearing this, or like, I wore this last time we hung out. I can't wear this again because I don't want her to think that I only have one shirt, you know?
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
But, like, you probably wouldn't even remember what I was wearing.
No, That's and right, like, exactly right.
And you would do the same thing, like, oh no, I have to do this, like, with my hair, or wear these kinds of pants, because, like, I want to wear something new. And it's like, I have no idea what you were wearing, and you had no idea what I was wearing. But still, we spend so much time, especially in the gym, so much time thinking about, oh my God, people are going to look at me, people are going to remember that I wore these shorts last week, or, you know, people are going to, like, remember that I did this exercise, so I have to do something else. No. No one actually looks at you. People just look
at
themselves.
No one looks at you and no one cares.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's trying so hard to focus on their own exercise. They don't give a shit what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with weight gain, I think that's so important that, you know, we get so in our heads about, oh, I put on a few kilos and everyone's going to think I'm fat, or everyone's going to think I'm a loser or failure. But most of the time, people don't even notice. And if you're happier when you're bigger, that's what they're going to notice. They're going to notice, wow, you look so happy and healthy right now.
And not, glowing.
Yeah, yeah, and glowing. Not, oh, you put on a few kilos, like, you let yourself go. Like, if people say that to you, then fuck them. That you don't want them in your life.
That's a sign of pure jealousy too. Like, why are you paying that much attention that you can tell that I've gained a bit of weight or lost a bit of weight?
Like, yeah, exactly, you know. Exactly. Like, how do you have nothing better to talk about than my weight? Like, come on.
I know. Get a life. Yeah. And you know what else on that topic? Something that I think women just tend to do, and we just need to stop doing it, but we can't help it because it's like ingrained in us. We need to stop apologizing for everything. Like, the first thing that we do when we see someone that we haven't seen for a long time, and I think I did it when I saw you on the camera, I was like, I'm so sorry about my appearance. I've got my makeup on, I've just done a full day's work, and I've just finished Pilates. Who cares?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares if you've got no makeup on.
Yeah.
Nobody, like you said, nobody cares if you're wearing the same top you were wearing last time you caught up.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, the first thing I find myself doing when I catch up with other people, I'm like, oh my God, I've put on so much weight. Because it's like, I want to tell them that I've put on so much weight before anybody themselves even notices it.
Yep. Yep.
Like, I'm like, I'm aware of the situation when nobody cares.
Yeah.
Except for you, you know?
Yeah.
Stop apologizing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's something that so many people do. It's like, you say it first because then it's not going to hurt as much if anyone else says it. Like,
absolutely.
I always use
you think they're thinking it, so I'm going to make sure they know that I know that they're thinking it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. We're like mind
complex
reading.
Complex the human brain.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so complex. Like, the more I learn, the more I'm like, wow, I have so much more to learn.
And I think it's really hard as well with people like us who have such a large presence online too. Because I think there are a lot of people who are kind of invisible keyboard warriors who look at you from the outside and go, oh, she's put on weight, because they are purely following you because they want to see if you gain weight or lose weight,
yeah,
or
they
what
see
you're
you
doing to see how your body looks, you know? So that's another thing that I think a lot of us are aware of. We're like, oh, there's, you know, I've got 20,000 people following me. They're watching my every step. Are they going to judge me because, you know, I put up a photo last month on the Gold Coast with my husband in a bikini and I was bigger. And I was, the first thing I said was, I know I've gained weight, guys. Like, I am not in denial, but I've also gained so much happiness and food freedom, and I've eaten whatever I wanted this holiday, and I've drank out, you know. So as a whole, women need to stop that and just go, I'm living for myself and everyone else is living for themselves, and let's just embrace each other. And just, you know, there's a difference between being unhealthy and not caring about your health, because that's, you know, a danger to your life. But, you know, we need to stop this whole obsession with, I look like shit, oh, my friends are going to look better than me, oh, I got to make sure, you know, I've got a bunch of girlfriends, when we go out, they only wear heels. It could just be brunch at a cafe, or it could be a night of dancing, but they're always in heels. And I hate heels, you know, and I'm sick of pretending to enjoy wearing them because I'm out with this one group of friends. So now I just go in runners, because that's what makes me happy.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's ever noticed, but the first thing I do is, oh my God, guys, I'm sorry, I'm not wearing heels. You all look amazing, but I just, you know, I'm just not comfortable in them. No one cares.
Yeah.
Sarah, let it go, you know?
Exactly.
So stop apologizing, ladies. Start living for you.
Exactly. Like, why are you apologizing for? You're just there. Like, how much nicer is it when you're like, when you just come and you're like, wow, everyone looks so good and I'm just so excited to be here.
Yeah.
Instead of starting with, sorry for this, sorry I look shit, sorry I look fat, sorry I've gained weight, sorry I have a pimple here. Like, I've really, something I've really started doing on my stories. Like, you know, I don't filter anything. I just, like, put it up there from the gym, yes, whatever. Same. Yeah. And before I used to be like, oh, sorry, I'm so sweaty. Or sorry, my hair is so gross. Now I'm like, nah, fuck that. Like, what am I apologizing for? This is me. This is who I am. And I feel like when you are apologizing for having being sweaty or having cellulite or stomach rolls or whatever it is, you're literally telling yourself, even it might be subconsciously, you're telling yourself that you're not good enough as you are and you have to apologize for being yourself. So you need stop apologizing, because what you're doing is telling that inner child that no, you're not good enough. You're only good enough when you're pretty. You're only good enough when you're wearing pretty dresses or heels or makeup, when you're the good girl. Yeah. But you're allowed to be every part of you. Yeah. You're allowed to be the naughty girl, the loud girl, the crazy girl, the weird girl, the sweaty girl. You're allowed to be all of the girls.
Just you don't be have to you. Pick.
Yeah.
You and that's the beauty in the world, isn't it? Mm. We're all different. Embrace it. Yeah. You know, why shouldn't we try and fit in with this perfect concept? It's not even real. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So much stuff you see online. I used to be a makeup artist, and you know, makeup artists would support each other by following each other's work and sharing each other's stuff and all that, like we do in the fitness world. And so many people's photos were so filtered and edited to make their makeup look so much better. And I just think to yourself, what is the point of hiring this makeup artist who is not even showing you what you're genuinely going to look like? And it's the same in any kind of part of the world. Stop filtering everything just for you, and that's what makes you amazing. And when have you ever, as a woman, as a person, gone out and looked around and gone, she looks terrible, she's too fat to wear that, oh, I would never look like that. I've never looked at another woman and thought, oh, she shouldn't be in a crop top, or she shouldn't be wearing leggings, or she doesn't look nice. We always just look at people and think, oh, she looks good, keep walking. Like, no one, you know, is as focused on you as you think they are. And nobody thinks you look horrible more than you do. So stop it, you know? Yeah.
No, 100% agree. Like, the only time I ever look at people and have an opinion in the gym is when I see them have like a really nice set, like really nice outfit. Where I'm like, where'd you get that from?
Or I look at other women, I'm like, I want to be able to do a pull up. Yeah. You are amazing.
Yeah.
I look at them, you are so cool. I want to be like you, you know? And they're probably thinking, I hope no one's watching me, you know? Yeah, when other women are looking at them in awe and praising them. So
yeah, exactly. So yeah, if me and Sarah are looking at you, it's because you look amazing and you're doing cool things.
You look amazing and we want that.
Yeah. We want to be you, basically.
And that's why we should be lifting each other up. You know, 100%. Be the woman who goes to another woman and says to her, that was a sick lift, you know?
Yeah.
You're doing a great job as a mum when her children are screaming in the supermarket, whatever it is to just brighten someone's day. That never, ever hurts, you know?
No, it definitely
doesn't. It's lovely. It's such a nice feeling to hear, and it's such a nice feeling to give to someone else.
Yeah. Oh, it's the
empower
best.
Empower each other.
Yeah, and it's the best when you get like random compliments from strangers. It's like, oh my God, thank you. And like, you have no idea what you've been going through that day. Like, you might have had the worst morning ever, and then someone says something really nice to you, and it's like, wow, like you can really just turn the day around. And like, imagine doing that, helping someone else turn their day around. Like, it's so amazing. So yeah, please be a bit kinder to each other. And what I also want to say about them, you know, not caring so much about what you post online and like just posting whatever you want. And especially like now going into the new year, I know people are like starting their own businesses, or like they might want to pursue like a career in coaching, for example, or grow the social media or something like that. Like, what is it that's stopping you? Like, because usually there's like one or two people that you're like, I don't want John or Caroline to see what I'm posting. I'm so scared. Like, you know who these people are. But then, are you going to let John and Caroline hold you back from doing what you want to do? That's two people. Fuck that. Like, name them, and then just, you know, ask yourself, am I going to let these people hold me back from wearing the crop top, from starting my business, from running like a huge Instagram account? No, don't. Like, still go after and do your thing.
Absolutely. And if someone genuinely bothers you, because it might all be in your head, John and Caroline might not actually give a shit what you're doing. But if you truly believe they do, or they're making comments at you, block them. What are you going to lose?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Do whatever it is that makes your life work for you. Mm. Like,
100%.
You know, and go get those dreams, because you only get to do it once. There are no 100%. Do-overs.
2024 is the year of dreams.
Absolutely. Let's go smash them.
We're going to smash them this year.
Let's go get all the good things that we want and we need and we are chasing. Let's go catch them.
100%.
Let's make it amazing.
100%. You mentioned at the start of the podcast that you did struggle a bit with binge eating and eating disorders and stuff. And I know like so many people listen to this podcast, it's something that they really struggle with as well. Like, do you mind sharing a little bit of, you know, how that started for you and how, you know, what helped you overcome it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am your typical, you know, 90s girl. So I grew up in the 90s in the days of, you know, plastered on the magazines, how to get flat abs in 90 days, best and worst beach bodies, all that stuff that was constantly thrown at you. If you weren't paper thin, you were not good enough. And that's just how it was. And unfortunately, we're not all built the same. So, you know, I was constantly chasing from a very young age. I'm probably talking 11 or 12 years old. I was just constantly chasing to be the thinnest version of myself possible. And that's where it all started. I was also raised in a household where it wasn't always a very happy place to be. And I had a parent, like a mum who was always on some sort of diet, and a dad who was constantly telling me that no matter how beautiful a woman is, if she's fat, she's not desirable. And that's what was constantly fed to me. Unfortunately, that is, you know, what I had growing up. And that's all I knew. So all I ever did was try and be the smallest version of myself. So I'd read the magazines because we didn't have the internet back then, and try and follow all the diets that were in them. And there were lots of them, you know, trying to, you know, doing sit-ups in the lounge room when I was about 12 years old, and trying to eat absolutely nothing and doing all sorts of different fad diets. I remember going to Priceline and buying my first, like, I can't remember the exact brand, but it was like OptiSlim or one of those, you know, bars, meal replacements. And I'd take that to school and that would be my lunch, and that's all I'd eat for the day. And, you know, I'd start dropping weight. But then you'd get hungry, and as a teenager, you're not, you know, your hormones are unsettled and you're still in the really, you know, growing and development stage. And I'd get hungry and I'd eat because I was starving. And I'd eat everything because I was over hungry and my body was probably trying to, you know, catch up on what I hadn't eaten. And there was started, you know, the restrict binge cycle. And then I remember my mum doing Weight Watchers when I was in year 10 or 11, like closer to the end of my high school years. And I borrowed her books and I photocopied them at school and I shared them with my girlfriend at the time, one of my best friends in high school. And we both followed the diets to a T. We would count our points. And then I remember one time my girlfriend in high school called me on the house phone and she said to me, I can't keep doing this. Can we just tonight just break our diet and get back on it tomorrow? And I was like, yes, we can do that. And I remember that night because I was walking distance to a Woolies, and I just went to Woolies and I used all like the money I had from my part-time job at Woolies and just bought like Willy Wonka chocolates and bags of Twisties and hot dogs and just whatever I felt like when I would look at it. And I went home and I made it all and I ate it all, and we called each other like, what did you eat? What did you eat? And it was so much fun talking about what we'd eaten that night. And the next morning we're back at school starving ourselves. And I remember that being my very first like binge, and it just was a downward spiral from there. After that, I did probably every diet you can possibly think of, even things that are not considered a diet, just anything that would fill up my stomach so I wouldn't eat food, you know, whether it was, you know, like broth or like pureed baby food, like just stupid shit. And it was always just a cycle of binge restrict. And that's all I've ever known. And I'm turning 37 in a couple of months. And, you know, up until only about maybe 12, 18 months ago, that's all I ever knew. I'll just go up and down in weight, you know. So, and then, and I think that this Instagram page may have even saved me, because even starting it, yeah, I had started getting into the whole counting your calories and macro tracking. And it was a much, as obsessive as it is, it was still much healthier than just not eating at all. So I thought, oh, I can actually eat 1,200 calories and lose weight, but at least I'm eating food. And at the time I was like, oh my God, I'm eating food. But we all know 1,200 calories isn't enough, but it's still a lot more than zero, you know?
Yeah. So
it was a start. And I slowly upped my calories from there. And then I stopped. It took me over a year of just eating like 1,200 calories to just finally just stop. Eat a little bit more, because then I you know, got into the with some really good health coaches who were amazing, who helped me eat a little bit more. And I was monitoring my measurements and my weight and realizing I'm not gaining weight, like I can eat more, so eating more and more. And then one day, I can't remember, I think it was probably about maybe March this year, I just woke up and I was like, I'm done, I'm just signing out of my fitness pal and I'm just not looking at it for a while. I was like, I'm not going to promise to forever because I wasn't ready yet. And I thought, I'm not going to track my calories today. And I didn't. And then I didn't the next day. And I still haven't. And it's been like 10 or 11 months now, or however long it's been. And I have not opened my fitness pal, I think maybe once to help someone with something online, like a salad or something. Other than that, I have not opened my fitness pal. And the thing is, it takes so long to get here. So I understand when people message me and they say things like, I'm so scared. Were you not scared to gain weight? Yeah, damn right, I was scared to gain weight. And if you say to me you were not scared a little bit, you're lying, because we're all scared to gain weight because that's how we're programmed. But I see the weight gain as almost like saving my life as well, because you cannot live your entire life counting every single calorie of everything that you put in your mouth, never enjoying time out with friends, going to restaurants, having a drink with your partner, whatever it may be that you truly enjoy doing. You cannot tell me that you love counting your calories day in, day out forever. Yes, there are times where it's necessary, and I think it's a great tool to teach you about what's in your food and, you know, the different, like, nutrients and health benefits that are in different foods, because there are a lot of people out there who do the 1,200-calorie diets and all they eat is 1,200 calories of Maccas every day. That's terrible for you, even if you're losing weight, you know? So you do need to understand the nutritional value in good foods. But you also need to eventually let go of that and just live your life. You know, you can always go back to it if you need to. I may eventually go back to it if I have to go through some sort of, you know, whether it's a building stage or a fat loss stage or whatever it may be. But you need to get to a point where you are so comfortable with not relying on MyFitnessPal before you could ever go back to that kind of lifestyle again. And you need to understand that it is not a forever thing. And you do have to come to terms with the fact that you probably will gain weight. I gained weight. You cannot count every single thing that goes in your mouth. There is no joy in living like that. And you have to let go of all the food rules. You know, when you're starting the healing process, especially if you're coming from, like, I never had anorexia. I was more just restrict binge, body dysmorphia and mental health issues that affected how I viewed myself. But, you know, I think, did you have anorexia, Alan?
Yeah.
So you know that when you are healing, you cannot have any food rules in place. Like, you just can't. Really want to heal, you have to let go of everything. And if you want something, you have to be able to eat it bit by bit, but you have to be able to, you have to go, I really want that chocolate bar and I'm terrified of that chocolate bar. You have to eventually get it down your throat, like, bit by bit, even if it's just a bite a day.
Yeah.
You have got to let go of those food rules or you are never going to recover. And that's just how it is. And I'm not a professional. This isn't my field of expertise, but just from my own personal experience, you cannot recover until you completely let go of everything. You know, even if for a while you have to unfollow the pages that are constantly, you know, saying to you, if you really want it, you can get it. Or, you know, you're not trying hard enough. Well, put it to the side. But you're trying harder up for something else and something that could potentially save your life and save you years of torment, because that's what we do. You know, a big one for me was the body checking. I still do it. I'm not going to lie. I still do it to this day. I get up, I look in the mirror. There are days I cry myself because I'm like, my stomach is not flat anymore. You know, I lost so much weight after having my children. I was done having kids. I had a tummy tuck and I'm like, what are you doing? You spent $20,000 on plastic surgery and you're eating and you could, you know, potentially ruin it. I don't want to get to that point, but I know that I have to heal mentally to be able to maintain that kind of body again. And people can't begin to understand how important it is to just heal first, you know. So, but it takes a very long time to get here. It's taken me over 20 years.
Yeah.
So yeah. I get it.
Yeah, and I think this is the hard part, is that, you know, we think that if we sign up with a coach like me, for example, who's a therapist who helps people with eating disorders and anxiety, all or nothing mindset and stuff like that, and they think that they come to me and all of a sudden their negative thoughts are going to be gone and that they are never going to feel like crave any foods ever again or never going to have a binge eating urge ever again. And, you know, this is not very, very realistic because you've lived with these thoughts for like 20, 30 years.
That's
They're
right.
part of you and they can be a part of you.
Yeah.
No. And the thing is here is that we, like what you were saying about having, like, sometimes you wake up and you're like, I hate my body. Sometimes we just have to accept that these parts can, that these thoughts can still be there, that we can still have negative thoughts about ourselves, that we can still feel a bit shittier or feel or think that we need to eat certain things or think that we can't have certain things or feel guilty about stuff, and that that can be okay. But we don't have to allow it to ruin our whole day, that we can still move forward with our lives. That, you know, you can get up and you can be like, oh, wish my stomach looked differently, but you can still choose to wear a dress. You can still choose to go and have fun with your husband. You can still choose to go to date night. And that's what's going to help you heal, that you can allow those thoughts to be there, but you don't have to allow them to ruin your whole day and take up so much time in your time and space in your life.
Absolutely. Because they do, they can, for a lot of people, and they have for me in the past, they can overtake your whole life. You can spend your whole day hating yourself because you're just so unhappy with what you see in the mirror. Or you can look in the mirror and you can go, look, it's shit. I wish I looked a bit different. I probably will one day when I can get back into it, but I'm not going to let this ruin my day. I'm still going to go out and have fun, have a great day, and I'll deal with it another time. Yeah. And next time it happens, you say the same thing and you just keep doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And it is hard, but it will get easier. But like, if you're someone, for example, now after Christmas, like this is going to be out the next week, so the first week of the year, and you know, you might feel a bit fluffier, you might have a bit more negative self-talk, you might have gained a little bit of weight because it's been Christmas, like we've had holiday season, we've probably eaten a bit of extra food, eaten extra carbs, eaten extra sodium, and that's all going to affect our weight. Well, maybe now we should stay off the scales. Maybe now isn't the time to try on those skinny jeans that you've always wanted to fit into. Maybe now isn't the time to go and buy a new bikini. Like we all have negative thoughts, but look at it like, you know, watching a scary movie during the day, that's not very scary. But watching a scary movie at night in a dark house where there's no lights and there's no one around, that's going to freak you the fuck out. That's going to have a huge impact on you. And that's the same thing as you going body checking, or you putting on the skinny jeans, or you weighing yourself after a period like this, where you probably are going to be a bit more sensitive. You probably are going to have a bit more negative self-talk. Why would you then put yourself in a situation in a dark room with a scary movie? Why don't you just watch that, have these talks during the day or a few weeks later, or with someone who's qualified to basically take you into a room that's light where you can watch, have the movie playing in the background, and it's not going to have as much of an impact on you.
Absolutely. That's a really good way to look at it.
So please, everyone, be kind to yourself after Christmas and New Year's, because fuck, we all eat a little bit of extra food at this time, and that's perfectly fine. Like, I would not have wanted to come home to Sweden and been like, no, sorry, mom, I can't eat your cookies. I can't have that cake that you made just for me because I'm on a diet, or I don't want to put on 2 kilos. Like, fuck that. Like, your bodies are meant to change.
And think back, like, you might put on weight, but did you enjoy yourself? Did you have a great day? Did you have a great few weeks with your friends and your family? Exactly. Fantastic. Isn't that more important?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the thing is, when we go on holidays, and when we, especially longer holidays, or with people we haven't seen in a while, or honeymoons or whatever, like, you're going to be out of routine and you're going to eat a bit of extra food and you're going to probably train a little bit less, but then your body's going to change. But then you come home and you go back to your training, you go back to your routine, you go back to eating normal foods. The weight is just going to drop off. You don't have to do anything.
Absolutely.
Your body will just change. Your body is literally just a representation of what's going on for you at that specific time. And if for you right now, that is healing and going through that process of allowing all foods, then yeah, sure, you might put on a few kilos, but once you get to that point of, you know what, I actually don't care what I eat. I just eat whatever I want, and I can truly listen to my body. Then if you're meant to lose weight, if you are meant to be smaller, that will just happen naturally. You won't have to do anything. But
that's
maybe
right.
You're meant to look like you look now, and I think you look amazing.
Oh, thanks, Ellen.
You know, we need to stop being so hard on ourselves and stop comparing our bodies to the perfect body somewhere else, because maybe like your healthiest weight is not going to be the same as my healthiest weight. It's not going to be the same as freaking, I don't know, Lauren Simpson's healthiest weight. Like, everyone's going to have a different.
And you got to remember, a lot of these people that we glorify online, this is their job. They literally have dedicated their life to counting everything that goes in their mouth, spending hours every day at the gym, and that's just all they do. So of course they're going to look amazing when, you know, I'm a mother of two who's 10 years older than them, and I'm running a house and working full time and trying to maintain an Instagram page and trying to keep, you know, feeding my children and dealing with a new puppy and keeping on top of the washing and the cleaning and the cooking and trying to get to the gym. And I can't look the same as someone who's 10 years younger than me, never had a baby, and has dedicated their entire life to eating well and exercising every single day. You just can't. That's not who you are. Your body represents your lifestyle.
Exactly.
And that's not, you know, that's not we wrong. Can't all, unfortunately, have that lifestyle. It would be amazing, but we can't. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, fuck, it's a lot easier to say no to a donut if you get paid for it.
Oh, of course. That's right. Exactly.
So, yeah, please don't compare yourself to other people. We are all beautiful. And how amazing is that? Like, how boring would it be if we all looked exactly the same? So boring.
Yeah, absolutely. And how boring would the world be if every single person on it was just counting every calorie and doing 20,000 steps and hitting the gym for 3 hours a day? Like, there is so much more to life out there than just that.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, so go 100%. Get healthy, enjoy your life, but there is, you know, there are other things out there to be enjoyed too. And you were right before when you said, you know, maybe your body is not meant to be at a certain size. Maybe it's actually meant to be where it is after you've stopped all these, you know, restrictions and rules.
Yeah.
Maybe your body is meant to sit a little bit heavier, and who cares if it is? If it means you feel good and you're healthy and, you know, unlike, you know, I used to faint all the time from really low blood pressure when I was too small. You know, if I feel great now. I don't wake up feeling dizzy and exhausted all the time, and that's probably because I'm a lot heavier than what I was. And you know, if you're within a healthy weight range for yourself and you're sitting a little bit heavier, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. If you have energy to play with your kids, if you have energy to go to the gym, if you have energy for your work and you feel good, you have your good digestion, your skin's glowing, your hair is growing, fucking like, what else do you need? Who cares if you have abs or not?
Food and you're cooking fun meals. Yeah.
Exactly.
So much fun, you know?
100%. 100%.
Absolutely.
Well, Sarah, it's been absolute pleasure to have you on. It's been so, so nice. Do you have any final words of wisdom that you want to share with the listeners?
The only thing I'm going to say is just keep empowering each other. Let's make 2024 one of those years where we are just raising each other up, where women are looking after their sisters, and we're, you know, stop putting each other down. Stop putting yourself down. Let's lift each other up. Let's have a happy year ahead.
Yeah.
Let's just put it out there to the world and let come back to you. So
100% agree. 100% agree. And on that note, I do want to plug the Empowered Woman program, which starts on the 15th of January. So you, when this comes out, you still have a few weeks left to sign up. So in this program, we have the group chat where you can chat to the other girls. You can chat to me every single day. We have the weekly group calls where you literally get coached by me in the call. And you have the weekly educational modules in the hub that comes with workbooks so that you can keep progressing every single week. You're going to learn so, so much. This is literally everything that I've learned from, you know, my 10 years of studying, my own experience coaching girls, my own eating disorders. You know, it's a combination of CBT, of NLP, ACT, shadow work, all of the T's, like everything. It's literally like such a good program, and I've seen it change so many lives already. So if you are ready to really truly feel empowered in 2024, make sure that you reach out. All the details are in the show notes, or you just reach out to me on Instagram. But Sarah, thank you so, so much again. Please, everyone who listens to this, make sure that you do share it on your stories. You tag myself, you tag Sarah. Let us know what you thought. What was your best part? What could you resonate with? Honestly, it just makes us so happy when you share the episode, because it's just, yeah. Otherwise, this is like a number. It's like, I have no idea who listens.
That would be amazing.
Yeah,
and good luck to all the girls that are starting Alan's program in January. You couldn't find a better coach and person to work alongside. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm very excited. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, Sarah, but thank you so much. And everyone else, I will see you next week. Bye.